I was preaching through the book of Ephesians at Sagamore Hill Baptist Church, goodness, decades ago. And I preached through it just like I'm teaching through it now, verse by verse. And at that time, we were trying something a little different in the services. I had been to a Bill Gothard pastor's conference, and he said, "Have you ever tried the order of service that's in the book of Acts?" I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" "Well, in the book of Acts, they had the apostles' doctrine first and then fellowship." And so we started coming into the auditorium, and the choir would sing a call to worship. The deacons would come and kneel there with me at the front, and then I'd get up off my knees and go to the pulpit and preach. And then afterwards, the music director would say, "Now we're going to sing, and if God's spoken to you through the message this morning, come down here and just stand here on the front row, and we'll give you an opportunity." We had a microphone, an opportunity to share a testimony about how God's spoken to you. That koinonia, that fellowship. Well, I preached on this paragraph, just exactly what I'm covering with you today, these very same verses. And one of our deacon's wives came forward and stood on the front row. When it came time for her to speak, she said, "You know, her husband was the manager of the Six Flags JCPenney store, which was one of the leading stores at the time. I think he'd been there when they built it. But then Penny built more stores, and they built more malls, and so the share of that started shrinking down. And then they were going to open a brand new store in Houston at Sharpstown, and a new mall down there. And they asked John if he would go and move and open the store. It would have greatly increased his salary, because they work off, you know, you have a salary, and then you also have a bonus based on the sales. Well, they had just remodeled their home on the golf course. Spent $30,000 to $40,000 remodeling it. Their children were married and were living right there near them with the grandchildren. Now, that's not easy to go off and leave that, is it? And so he said to Wanda, you know, "I can go down there and I'll have instant friends because of the people that are in the store. But, you know, we've lived here 30 years, raised our family here. Our children are here. Our grandchildren are here. All of your friends are here, and I'm not going to force this. You're going to have to help me make this decision." And she said, "Last Sunday, when you finished preaching, I just looked ahead to see what you were going to preach on this Sunday. And there it was, wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." And she said, "I went home and I told John, 'John, you follow Christ in this, and I'll follow you.'" And they moved down there to Houston, and they're back now. They're retired and look back with all the grandchildren. Now they've got great-grandchildren over there. But Christ should be revealed in our homes. Now, third thing I want to say about this is there is an implication of permanency in marriage because of its comparison to our relationship to Christ. You know, "Let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Let each one of you," in verse 31, it's further back up there, verse 25, "love your wives just as Christ loved the church, gave himself for her, that he might sanctify, cleanse her by the washing of the water of the word, that he might present her to himself." Now, that's talking about heaven. That's what the pastor is preaching on today. Is it a good sermon, those of you that were in the early service? How you can know that you're going to heaven. I used to ask people sometimes when I was witnessing to them, do you know that you're going to go to heaven? Well, you know the two questions in evangelism explosion. You know, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? That's the first question. And more than once, people would answer, well, I don't think anybody can know that. Well, I would turn to one of my team members and I'd say, do you know that you're going to heaven when you're? Oh, yes, I know that. Do you know? Yes, I know that. I said, I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. And then I would quote 1 John 5:13, these things I've written unto you who believe on Jesus Christ that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, if it's eternal life has a quality about it, but it also has a quantity about it. And really, in the Greek, it's the idea of everlasting. In fact, that's what you have in John 3:16, not just eternal life, but everlasting life, unending life. In the Bible, eternity is elongated time. It just never stops out there. It is possible to know that you are going to heaven when you die, and Jesus is not going to throw you back like some fish that's too short. He's not going to do that. You are not going to fall. You know, if it was possible to lose your salvation, I'd have lost it a long time ago. Wouldn't you? Thank God for the assurance of salvation that we have in the Bible. That when we surrender our hearts and lives to Christ, why, that's just the beginning of it. He gave himself for her, that is, on the cross, died, rose from the dead. Why? That he might sanctify her and cleanse her. And Christian growth is supposed to be sanctifying and cleansing. Well, we grow closer to Christ. Although I might issue this disclaimer in there, the closer you get to God, the more sinful you realize you are. And sometimes you wonder, am I going backwards in all of this? But no, you're not. Someday, he's going to present us faultless before the presence of his glory. And a husband is supposed to be sanctifying and cleansing his wife like that as they talk, as they grow. Let me say that if you are in a subsequent marriage, what you want to do is to illustrate God's glorious ideal in that marriage. One man, one woman for the rest of your lives in that. Like I said with John Wesley, sometimes that does not work out, but because of the hardness of heart. But that's God's will. Our salvation is eternal, and our marriage should be until death us do part. You know, I could never understand people who believe in falling from grace, because more than one passage in the Bible, but particularly because of John chapter 10, where Jesus says, I know my sheep, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father that gave them me is greater than all, and nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hand. There's an image in that of Jesus having us in his hands and then the Father's hand being put on top of his. Pretty safe place, wouldn't you say, in there. I think I told you about the Church of Christ preacher I met on an airplane. I asked him, what do you do with that verse in John chapter 10 when Jesus says, no man can pluck them out of man? So, well, it doesn't say the man can't jump out. I said, are you a man? He said, I beg your pardon? Are you a man? It says no man is able to pluck them out of man, including you. You cannot escape. Once you've been born again, you can't be unborn. When you're born physically, your father and your mother are fixed forever. They might not stay with you. You might not like them. You might leave them, but they're still your parents. And the same thing with God. When we're born again, we are always, always, going to be with Jesus, and our homes ought to be like that. Anybody ever hear old Dr. R.G. Lee preach? Did you hear his famous sermon, Payday Someday? Wow. He came here for Dr. Criswell's 25th anniversary. Now, that was in 1969, his 25th anniversary, came in 44. And they had Ann Hood put together a This Is Your Life celebration. Anybody go to that over in the gym? You remember the This Is Your Life celebration? Ruby remembers it there. Billy was there. And we had his brother. We had some people that he didn't know anybody was going to. They just come out, you know. And one of them was Dr. Lee. Well, I was assigned to take care of Dr. Lee until it was time for him to come out. And so that was really a great, great honor. And I asked him several questions. I remember, said, Dr. Lee, said, I've heard that you made visits every day, 6 days a week. He said, yes. And I said, doesn't it rain a lot over there in Memphis? Rains all the time, summer and winter. I said, well, you know, my mama taught me, don't go visit people in the rain. You attract mud into their houses, you know. Oh, he said, son, when you come up on that porch and you got an umbrella over your head and they look out there and they said they know that you want to see them when you visit them in the rain, you know. And then I asked him another question. I've heard you read the dictionary. Yes, I read 10 words a day out of the dictionary. That's how he had that vocabulary. I mean, he could talk about Jesus from A to Z, literally. And I don't know why I ask him this, but I know why. I said, how long y'all been married? I think they'd been married about 60 years then. And I said, well, you ever thought about leaving her, about divorcing her? Why in the world did I ask that question? He said, divorce her. And he started down through the alphabet. She's the apple of my eye. You know, she's had a letter for everything. He said, I have never thought about divorcing her. I did think about killing her one or two times. he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. What a great promise made to Joshua originally before he went to war. Made to us in the book of Hebrews. My life verse is found in that little pericope, that little passage in Hebrews chapter 13. Really, I used to sign my name when people ask me to sign their Bible and put Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 8. And then I got where I just said, well, verse 8, you know, Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Wow. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who've spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wife, submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the church, even as Christ is the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Cyrus the Great, without doubt, one of the greatest kings who ever lived in ancient history. He's in the Bible. Isaiah prophesied Cyrus 200 years before Cyrus was born. Called him by name. The liberals said, well, there must be two Isaiahs, you know. So nobody could know. Nobody could know that. I said, well, I know somebody that could know. And called him Cyrus the Great, my servant, told how he would deliver the people and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And that's exactly what happened. Cyrus the Great said, Jehovah spoke to me and said, let the people go back and rebuild the temple. My guess is Daniel showed him the book of Isaiah. And showed him where he was in there, prophesied ahead of time. Cyrus the Great discovered that the wife of one of his guards was guilty of treason. Somebody had offered her a large amount of money if she would poison him. And it was discovered. And when it was discovered, the guard, her husband, threw himself on the ground in front of Cyrus and said, "Kill me. Please don't kill her." And Cyrus was so moved that he pardoned her. You know, Queen Elizabeth pardoned a woman who was about to kill her. And that night, when that guard and his wife were talking, he asked her, "Did you see the look on the king's face when he pardoned you? Must have been smiling or had some kind of greatness in his face." And she said, "No. All I could see was the look on the face of the man who was willing to die for me." That's what ought to motivate us to have Christian homes, because we ought to have eyes only for him who died that we might live. Amen. Amen. And amen. Brother Jack.